Hey man, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting. And I'm sorry, sweetheart, I forgot to give the most important person to me in this world the note, so please forgive me. Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting for October. But the second one, you know, we're going to home group meetings. And so now, when you go on the website, then you can hear Brother Freddy. For October, I think it was on the 13th, did an outstanding job.
And,
that will be uploaded, and then this one. And so you have, you will have two home group meetings, messages to listen to. Amen? And so let's go ahead and get started. And then as we do, let's go ahead and look back at what we looked at last time that I spoke. And then we'll go ahead and launch into Wilderness Truth from Modern Times, number 57. Number 57. I'm just trying to think. Well, as always, I just want to thank everybody for all of the emails and stuff that I get. And you know, I love you, and we love you very much also, because our website goes out to many, many people around the world, and they really enjoy the teaching of Brother Freddy, and they just enjoy all the wonderful stuff out there. Amen. So it was about 5 points. I think it was 5 points that I had from last time I shared. Amen. So if you're taking notes, you can write these down. Amen. The first one, we are to sow the seed, the Word of God. Remember, the seed is not money. That'd be a great place to say amen. Because a lot of people don't know that, but all throughout the Bible, the seed is the Word of God. You can find that in Mark when Jesus was talking about sowing the seed, but we're to sow the seed, the word, in peace. In peace. James 3:18 says that the word of God is to be sown in peace. Those who sow the word of God are supposed to do that in peace and in unity and love to see spiritual growth and development. If you sow the word in anger or contention or animosity or with an agenda or whatever, you're wasting your time, because that word will not find good ground, because the heart will be messed up and there'll be no love and there'll be no spiritual growth and development in the people. So we must always sow that word of God in peace. Number two, we are not to be violent in our approach in ministry. So many Christians that I hear, Lord have mercy, I'm taking back what the devil sold, and I'm doing this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, no, there's no militancy in ministry. We are to not to be violent. We're supposed to be loving and kind and gentle, even in our approach, in our prayers and stuff like that. Amen? Very, very important point. I hear a lot of Christians just, you know, gosh, he's going to do all of these things, and they're going to take heaven by force. And, well, no one needs to take heaven by force, right? I mean, you know, why would we want to take heaven by force? Well, we don't need to, because, you know, heaven is by our walk in obedience with the Lord. Amen. Third point, very important point. Our forward progress in God will depend on a frontless life with no disguises nor camouflage. Our forward progressive in God, it will depend upon us having a frontless life. We don't have an agenda. We don't have this front. We're not trying to manipulate or do something like that. We have this frontless life, and we have no disguises. We have no masks and no camouflage. We're not trying to do something. We're not trying to trick somebody. And if we can walk in that, then our forward progress in God will be good. Number four, disguises are fabricated from our self-preservation and personal gain. When we have a disguise, when we have a camouflage, when we have another agenda, when we have something else that we want to do, even for God, all of that comes out of our self wanting to be saved. Comes out of our self-preservation. Well, you can't live and go to heaven, because the condition for spiritual growth and development in our life is we must die. Ourself must die. God is not trying to save ourself. He's trying to kill ourself. Now, ourself wants to live and be in charge and be, you know, large and in charge. And so ourself wants to preserve itself, because there's personal gain out there. And all of that comes out of all of our mask and our disguises and all of that stuff. Well, that is not what God is looking for. And the last point is we need to let God into our weakness. Wow. We need to let God into our weakness, into our ugliness, into our tempers, into whatever is preventing us from walking in the Lord. A lot of Christians, they talk of their strength, but actually, a real Christian knows his weakness better than he does his strength. And that's kind of a deep thought, but it's true. If you know what your weakness is, then there's chance for you to grow in God. There really is. But if you are more concerned about your strength, how long I can pray, all the things I can do, and stuff like that, well, there's really not much God can do with you. But if you know your weakness and you know your ugliness, and you just give that to God, God, you know I'm not the man that I say I am. I'm not the husband that I say I am. You know, Jesus finally brought Peter in John chapter 21 to the end of himself. And that's a wonderful place in God. And when we can bring our weaknesses and our ugliness and our tempers and our angers and all of those things before God, then God has brought us to the end of ourselves, which is the place that He can do something with us in. Amen? So tonight, let's go ahead and get into Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 57. And we're in Titus 3 and 9. I think everybody has the notes there. Amen? It says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions. If you've got your Bible or the notes, you need to underline that word contentions. And strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable in vain. For tonight, what I'd like to do, and we kind of talked about this last time I spoke, is don't be contentious. Now, one of the most important verses in the Bible, and you probably in your life have never ever heard this verse and had a message preached on it, but I will promise you, this is one of the most important verses in the Bible. And this is found in Proverbs 13:10. By the way, God added this a couple days ago to my notes. But anyway, Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. So every time we get angry, every time we strive, every time there's variance in our life, every time we wrangle, every time we try to do something, it is out of pride. It is out of pride. Our pride of saving ourselves, our self-life is coming out there. And the word contentious means it's always ready to argue. Always ready to argue. Wow. But for pride cometh contention. So if there is contention in your life, if there is contention in a relationship, even as we were talking with my brothers and sisters, there is contention in a relationship with my brothers and sisters, and I would say not on my part as much as their part, because they do not want to die. They don't want to recommit their life back to Christ and so forth and so on. The word contentious there is an adverb that means strife. It means debate. You know, as Christians, we love debate, don't we? Lord have mercy. We got to get that last word in. We've got to take the last bit of truth and cram it down somebody's throat. I got to let you know what I know. And I'm going to let you have it. Wow. It means contention. It means variance. A 9 times it's contention, strife, and wrangling. A contentious person will be contentious to people. So if you are contentious to people, then guess what? You are a contentious person. Avoid this attitude. Our life is not to take root in such characters or characteristics and find its activity there. Now, I know a lot of Christians that are very, very contentious. And you can ask my sweet and beautiful wife at times, well, I am never contentious. Right. And my wife said amen. But no, we all are contentious at times, and we need not do that, because Titus tells us they are unprofitable. That means there's no spiritual gain. That has nothing to do with money. But when we are contentious, we are unprofitable. There is no spiritual gain in our life, and it's vain, and it comes out of pride. Amen? Our life is not to be motivated by that which we want to accomplish, but by God. At all costs, avoid antagonism and contention, which are most costly to life. When we abide in this contentious, antagonistic, thinking in life, we are not profitable to God, and there will never, ever be any spiritual growth and development. Knowing God ought to be the single motivator in our lives for doing what we do for God. That's the number one motivator. Not what we will get out of it, or even what God will get out of it. That's not why we do things. We do things because we want to come to know God. Because if we know God, then we know everything. We have everything that we need. And that needs to be our single number one motivator.
That's right.
It's just to come to know God. And if we can know God, John 17:3, Jesus says, "Now this is life eternal." This is eternal life, which is not living forever. Eternal life is coming to know God. Now this is life eternal, that you may know me. Wow. So eternal life is not living forever. Eternal life is coming to know God, because if you come to know God, then you will live forever. Amen? The contentious heart is made manifest toward the enemy, toward the brother, and even in this verse, Titus quoted above, toward God's Word. Wow. God's Word. Believers argue and contend. Can you believe that Christians argue over the Word of God? Lord have mercy. It's just terrible. We ought not to be doing that. Contentions out of the contentious heart is almost every situation and circumstance. Such a heart condition is a lack of appreciation for God and His ways. If this is us, if you're listening to this tonight and you are a contentious person, and we know if we're a contentious person or not, if that be so, such a heart condition is a lack of appreciation for God and His ways. Believers reveal their heart to others. You know that? I think the last time Brother Freddie and I were up at the Raven, I told him, I said, "Look, if I want to find out something about you, all I need to do is let you talk. And you will tell me everything that you want to know." And that's true, because out of the mouth speaks the issues of our heart. But believers reveal their hearts to others. 2 Corinthians 3:2 said, "Ye are our epistles written in our heart." Ye are our epistles written in our heart. Know and read of all men. Men know of you. Women know of you, because your life is an epistle, and it's written. And it's written not by God's pen, but your life is written by your own mouth and by your own life. No matter what you do and what you say, you are writing your life story. That which is characteristically manifested in one area is generally moving in the whole of that person's life. So you can't not be contentious just a little bit in this area, because James tells us that a man that is double-minded is unstable in all of his ways. So a person that is contentious a little bit, he's not contentious a little bit, he's contentious a lot. Because you can't be double-minded a little bit. He said if you're double-minded, then you're unstable in all of your ways. And it's the same thing here. If you are contentious, then you are contentious a lot. If one part of our character is self-seeking, then all of our character is going to be self-seeking. Amen? If one part, then it's going to be the entire part. Jesus said here in Luke 16:10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." How faithful are you? How faithful are you? Do you do what you say? Boy, that's a gut check, isn't it? I don't know how many Christians say, "I'm going to come and I'm going to do this," or "I'm going to do that," and you know, I know, it's, you know, it's just something little, I got busy and I forgot. How faithful are you? God is listening, amen. But he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. That's the same principle right there. If one part is bad, then the whole part is bad. If you are unfaithful in a little bit, then you're going to be unfaithful in much. The truth of the statement rests upon the fact that we are what we are and what we say, regardless of the situation, the circumstance that we are operating in. Wow. Situations and circumstance, you're right, I'm glad you're sitting down, does not, I repeat, does not change our character. How many times have we blamed situations, have we blamed our character on situations or on somebody else? But that's not true. Situations and circumstances do not change our character. Either we are a man or woman of integrity, of great character, in a storm or not in a storm. Situations and, you know, they do not change our character. Either we are a man and woman of integrity of God, our word is our bond, is yea and amen, or we're not. In the church and in the home and on the job, our character remains basically the same, with differences in the wrappings. Some wrappings are designed to hide their real character, the mat and the camouflage that I was talking about. Many may fool some people. You know, Christians are really good at fooling people.
Amen.
They really are. But you know the people that most Christians fool the most is themselves. Mm-hmm. They fool themselves. They want to do all of these things, and so instead of really submitting to God and let God really deal in their heart and change their heart so that they can really move in God, they come up with all of these other things to do. And then they think that they're moving in God, but in reality, they're not. They're just doing what they want to do. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Amen? It's not the way it's supposed to be. But many folks see through the covering of the character for what it is. You know, when the Lord brings something like this to my attention, I don't know, but I used to smoke cigarettes. When I was in the military, everybody smokes and drinks, stuff like that. And I remember I used to go to this one church, this UPC church, United Pentecostal Holiness Church, and the people there really loved me. And I didn't realize how much they loved me until we left and we moved to Germany, and the Lord started using me because I smoked. And of course, smoking's not a sin. That's not a sin, right? The sin is to know right to do wrong. But you know, in the church, smoking, you're not supposed to smoke, you know? But I would go to church with tobacco on my breath. And they would still hug me, and they would act like, you know, they didn't know that I smoked. I mean, I'd get in my car, and smoke coming out of my car, and you know, they really loved me. And I thought that I was fooling them. Because you ain't not supposed to smoke in church, you know. You can see, my God, they're sending you to hell for that, you know. But they really cared about me, and they really loved us, you know. And they covered that, And, you know, that really struck me when I was in Germany and I was thinking about that, you know, how much they really cared about me, you know, and they didn't make a big deal. And no one said, you know, Brother David, you need to quit smoking and all, and, you know, the Lord can, you know, can take care of that. If you smoke, you know, I'm not saying you need to quit smoking, but I'm saying I was hiding and I had this mask and I was covering this, and I thought I was fooling everybody in church. Man, just chewing gum and doing all this stuff. And I was the only person I was fooling with myself. Man, it's just, you know, our character is God's number one focus in our life. Make no mistake. God doesn't care how much money you give. God does not care how long you can speak in tongues. He doesn't care how long you can preach. All those good work, and yes, all that good stuff has to happen, but God's number one focus in our life is our character. Because God's grand goal in our life is to conform us into the character and the image of Jesus Christ, which is holy. Which is a holy character, and that's what the Father wants to do in our life. He wants to turn us into someone, a man or woman that is holy. People see our true character, and they make judgments based on what they see. You know that? People, they see our true character, and they make judgments about our walk with the Lord. Do I want to be, a friend of that person, and so forth and so on. Our character is a big, big deal. But I'm here to tell you, most Christians could care little about their character. They would rather have a real nice suit on and go to church on Sunday and do all of those things. But when it comes down to their character, are they honest? Do they tell the truth? Can God count on them? Can your friend count on them? So forth and so on. That's what God is really concerned with. A contentious heart can be seen even in prayer and in reading and discussing the Word of God. The real you can be nothing more or less than the real you. Again, you can't change your character. You can't change your character, but God can change your character.
Amen.
But first you have to realize that your character needs change. If not, then you're going to be out there fooling yourself and trying to fool everybody else, right? But God can change. He's the only one, because you can't change your character. That's the way you have developed yourself. But you need to come to the realization that my character needs a lot of work. And God, I want you to change my character. Amen. And there is no helping that. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's where our character is really revealed. We are who we are, and our words and our actions reveal our true nature. And we cannot hide from the truth. We cannot do that. We are who we are. And unless we allow God to change our character, then we will be who we are. And that's why a lot of Christians have problems. Amen? Amen. But God desires to change our words and our deeds. Isn't that wonderful? God desires to change our words and change the things that we do. But before He can do that, He has to be able to change our heart. Change my heart, O Lord, was the song that I selected. And that's one of Brother Freddie's favorite songs. And why? Because unless God can change our heart, He'll never be able to change our character. He'll never be able to change the person that we are. Because in our heart is the person that we are. And God must be able to change that heart. And if He can't do that, well then, we will be the person that we are. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now we may make it to heaven. But we may make it to heaven with bruises on our head, kicking and screaming and making messes and just destroying things, and that's not what God has for our life. Do not be dissatisfied and disgruntled in what you do in your present life. Be dissatisfied and disgruntled in what you are. Boy, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Don't be unhappy the way your life is working out the way it's not working out. Don't be unhappy about that. Well, I don't have a job, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. Don't be unhappy about that, but be unhappy and dissatisfied and disgruntled with what you are. If there is a real dissatisfaction in us, and what we really are, then that is the beginning of change. He can correct a malignant or a cancerous heart. He cannot change simply by acting differently. It takes the creative power of God. Psalms 51:10, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now David said these words after he was caught in adultery with Bathsheba. Psalms 51 was the chapter where David was restored. Nathan pointed the finger and said, you are the man. And then, of course, David, he was on his face, and God was changing his heart. And even through that, David still was punished. Amen? David lost his first male born, which is a big, big deal to a Jewish man, to lose your first male born. God changed his heart. Oh, yes, He surely did that. But still, David paid a great price for that. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Only God can Only God can change us if we allow Him to. Only God can create in us a clean heart. And only God can renew us. And only God can restore us if we allow Him to. And if we have a desire for our life to be changed and our heart to be changed. Amen? A life surrendered to the burning coals of God's altar will be purified. A surrendered life. Wow. To the burning coals of God's altar will be purified. But I will promise you one thing. When you get purified, it gets hot. And God will burn you up. That's why not too many Christians want to stand near God. It says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And they go, okay, Lord, I'm going to draw near to you. But we know that verse that says that God is a consuming fire in Hebrews. Amen. Not too many people want to stand by someone and consume them. They would rather stand afar off. But when we surrender to God, to the burning coals of God's altar, we will be purified. We will have that clean heart. We will have that right spirit. But there must be willingness for the fire to burn our dross, and a willingness to let go of our malignancy for the sanctification and the purity God desires to establish in us. But not too many Christians want to climb up from the altar and get purified. Amen? And I count myself in that, you know, oftentimes when God begins to show some things to me, and He says, well, Dave, how about this? And how about that? And how about this thought? And how about this? Do I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to climb up in your altar and you can purify me? No. No, I say, Lord, where's that fire extinguisher? Let's put that fire out. Oh, no, Lord, that's not me. But that's okay, because I don't think I'm any different than anybody else in this room. And I'll say amen on that one. Amen. Because we're all there, amen. But we all just need to close our mouth. It's a wonderful place to be silent in God, isn't it? It's a wonderful place just to close our mouth and have God be able to close our mouth. And then we'll be able to climb up on the altar and allow Him to. You know, that happened to Brother Isaiah, you know.
Amen.
You know, He said, I dwell with a bunch of unclean people, you know. And you know what God did? God sent an angel. And He went to the altar and He got a hot coal and He went down there to Brother Isaiah's mouth and he purified his lips. You know, I was like Brother Isaiah, and God did say, now, Brother Isaiah, that's not true. You're not a man of unclean lips. That's not you. You're a wonderful person. You're a mighty man of God. God didn't say anything like that. God knew his heart. Isaiah knew his heart. And Isaiah climbed up on the altar, and God got that coal off the altar and purified his lips and his heart. Amen. The peaceful approach to Sidon by Moses is rebuffed, and the king himself against the children of God. Now remember, you know, we were looking at this verse last time in Deuteronomy 2 and 30, that Moses wanted to talk to the king of Sidon, Heshbon, and he wanted to go through, and he was going to give him money, and he was going to give him riches and all this good stuff if he would just let him pass. But let's see what happened. But King Sidon of Heshbon would not let us pass by him. So Moses was gentle and he was kind, was not contentious. He was just going to, you know, just please let us go. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit. Now I don't know about you, but that kind of gives me pause for cause. That God hardened the spirit of the king of Heshbon. As he hardened the spirit or the heart of Pharaoh. But God would never do that. Yes, he would, because God's got a plan and he's got a purpose. And he hardened his heart. That's the Bible says right there, hardened his spirit. And he made his heart an obstinate that he might deliver him into thy hand and appeared into this day. Wow. Make no mistake, my friend, God has his ways of working things out in our lives and in the world. Make no mistake, God has his way. So Moses just wanted to be kind and just kind of just go by, but the king of Heshbon here, he didn't want that. And so he wanted to fight against Moses. You know what happened? Moses defeated them.
The peaceful way is always the right way. But this king here did not want to go the peaceful way. And what happened was, he went the hard way, and he went and was killed. Amen. His heart is contrary to the character of God, and becomes more cemented in its malignancy by the contentious refusal of God's dealing in his life. Thus, he becomes the enemy to the secure, peaceful people. The peaceful way is always the right way. Amen? So make no mistake, my friends, God has a way of working things out in our lives and in the world. If our heart is contrary to God, and we do not allow God to work in our lives, then God will do his work, and we probably will suffer loss. Boy, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Well, ain't no problem with it. I don't know why it's a probably. But I will tell you, God will work in our lives. Then God will do it. If we refuse to let God do a work in our lives, then God will do his work. And I promise you, we will suffer loss. Anytime that we do not do what God wants us to do, and we move in disobedience, we always experience loss. We always experience loss. Now, in God, believe it or not, there's two types of losses. One is a loss we receive out of disobedience, and the other loss happens out of our spiritual gain in Him. In other words, when we're walking with the Lord and we experience loss spiritually, we lose some of the world, we lose some of ourself, we lose some of our self-seeking, we lose all of these things in our character, then now there is more room in us for God. And so the principle is that as we, you know, as we lose, we will gain. But if we do not move in obedience to God, the loss we will experience will be devastating. And usually, if you look throughout the Bible, the loss that most people experience is not the loss to themselves, it's the loss to other people. Most people, if you look at the Bible, receive a loss out of the disobedience of people. All throughout the Bible, that has been a theme. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let us allow God to work in our life, and let us not be a contentious person, and let Him change our character. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and for your blessing, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word, Father, Lord God. Change my heart, Father, Lord God. Change my heart, Father, Lord God. Make it new, Father, Lord God. Renew in me a right spirit, Father, Lord God. We just thank you for the praise you, Father, Lord. Lord, I'm no better than David, Father, Lord. David was no better than I, Father, Lord God. I'm no better than anybody, Father, Lord God. And I thank you and I praise you, Father, Lord God. Just renew in all of us a right spirit, Father, Lord God. And we just love you and we thank you. Father, Lord, thank you for this word, Father, Lord God. For let it bless hearts and minds, Father, Lord God. And just touch, Father, lives as it goes out, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.